On Thursdays, we read from your letters, and we begin today with a note from Robert McLean of Ambridge, Pennsylvania. Words cannot express my profound disappointment in your decision to cover the horrifying, graphic, irreverent, and Nazi-like experimentation of the perverted German who is plasticizing once-living human beings. Your nonchalant reporting results in the normalization and tolerance of such aberrant behavior, whether living or dead, human beings are created in the image of God and of precious value. You have advanced the cause of those who promote the culture of death.
Thank you for your look back on 30 years of cancer, writes Jill Petrie of Hopkinton, Massachusetts. And she continues, just over a year ago, my seemingly healthy 5-month-old nephew Charlie was diagnosed with cancer. He had a massive brain tumor, the symptom of a rare cancer that grows in the spinal cord and brain. While the survival statistics for this type of cancer were abysmal, Charlie overcame some early odds. The tumor was operable, and he responded to aggressive chemotherapy. He will finish his 2-year chemo protocol next spring, and we are very hopeful. I thank the stars every day for people like Dr. Judah Folkman and the countless other doctors and researchers who are searching for a cure and working with cancer patients. In a society that celebrates athletes and movie stars, I know who my heroes are.
Thomas Cathcart liked our story about Mississippi and the efforts in the state to discuss the civil rights era. Professor Cathcart says, it was as even-handed a presentation as 20 minutes would allow. I did cringe, however, when you came to my little town of Starkville, home of Mississippi State University. Your choice of an 80-year-old unrepentant former member of the Sovereignty Commission was not typical of our town. Our county was one of the few in the state that voted for the new flag, with a sizable white contingent voting with the resident African Americans. I would also like to emphasize that Mississippi has, despite the recent unfortunate flag election, come very far very fast in race relations. As a transplanted Northerner, I have heard the infamous N-word more often in my home state of New Jersey than ever I have heard it here.
Carol Brightoff sends this from Davis, California. I was disappointed with the cute and condescending tone of Linda Wertheimer's conversation with youthful radio commentators at the conclusion of an otherwise excellent news feature about the Oberlin College students and elementary-age kids who produce the I'm on the Stereo radio programs. When Ms. Wertheimer asked these youngsters whether they are enjoying their 15 minutes of fame, she elicited a cute response from the children, of course, but made a joke at the kids' expense. Were these children supposed to know the Andy Warhol quote? I felt that the adult commentator was winking over the kids' heads at the grown-up listeners.
And finally, from Janet Siegel of Boston, yes, Virginia, there are people and things still charming and wholesome in America. Mr. Bob Milam's wonderfully down-to-earth description of the Paris, Tennessee fish fry brought a big smile to my face on the ride home from work on Friday.
Thanks to all for listening, and a special thanks to those who wrote to wish us a happy 30th anniversary. Our address is Letters, All Things Considered, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code is 20001. By email, it's atc@npr.org. Please send along guidance on pronouncing your name, the name of your town, and your daytime phone numbers.